All right, everybody knows what I'm getting ready to say next, right? This is the place where we say, turn with me if you will. And, of course, this time it's easy because it's the start of a brand new book. We finished the book of Vayikra, Leviticus, last week. That means we're heading on to the middle now. Well, just past the middle, I guess you'd say, the 60% mark or so chapter-wise of the Torah. And that would be the book of, in English, it's called Numbers. In Hebrew, it's, of course, Bamidbar. And that's how the portion starts out. That's why the portion is named Bamidbar. It's how the book starts out. That's why the book is named the same as the portion, because they always are in the first chapter. And it goes like this. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai. Where? Unto Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai. In Bamid, and then Midbar, wilderness. So in the wilderness is where the entire book is set. So it's a pretty good name for the book. I can understand the English preoccupation with numbers, because there's a lot of numbers in here too. And of all the English names, this is probably about one of the better ones as far as a naming of a book, in my opinion, because the numbers are really key. And there's going to be, again, a lot of them. And they tell a whole lot of the story too. So, when and where? Okay, in the wilderness, Bamidbar of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, is where he's going to speak to him, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they've come up out of Mitzrayim. And it says this. Well, in English it says, take the sum of Kol Edat B'nai Israel. Okay, Kol, we know that word means all. Edat is the congregation or the assembly, but all of the congregation of B'nai Israel, children of Israel. Take the sum. Okay, it really what it says is lift up the head, literally, et Rosh. Rosh is the head. So what it's saying here is make a head count of all the children of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male by their poles. And then we get this qualification. Those that are over the age of 20 and up, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, a number of them by their hosts, you and Aaron. So basically, it's going to be a numbering. It's a census. And one of the things we're going to see throughout the Torah is you only take account of the people of Yah when he tells you to. And it's very important, and here is a place where he says, do it. Lift up the head, take the head count, and do so by families' names of the fathers' houses. And it's in particular going to be all of those males that are able to be military types, so essentially potential soldiers. And there'll be one man of every tribe, one head of his father's house. It's going to go through the list of the names of the 12 heads of the 12 tribes, the descendants of the original namesakes of the tribes here in a minute. Here are the names, it says, of all the men that will stand with you. First of the firstborn, Reuben. Okay, there's number one tribe. And it's Elizur, the son of Shedur. Of Simeon, Shelumiel, son of Zurud Shaddai. Then we go through the others. Of Judah, Nachshon, son of Amminadab. Of Issachar, Nataniel, son of Zuar of Zebulun, Eliav, the son of Helon. It's always interesting, of course, and I won't do it tonight in detail, but to look at these names as well. Eliav, right? We know Eli, my, El, and Av is father. So there's a couple ways you could read that, but it's God of my fathers is one. Of the children of Joseph. Now, remember, Joseph is essentially represented by two of his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So they're going to list both of them. The children of Joseph, first of Ephraim, you got Elishama, son of Amihud, and of Manasseh, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. Of Benjamin, Abidan, son of Gideoni. Of Dan, Ahiezer. Of Asher, Pagiel. Of Gad, Eliasaph. Of Naphtali, Ahira, son of Enan. These, and it says, were the basically the chiefs of the tribes, the elect of the congregation of the Edat, princes of the tribes of their fathers. They're the heads of the thousands of Israel. We're going to find out just how many thousands in a minute. Moshe and Aaron then took these men that were pointed out by name, because that was how they were commanded to take the census, by the names of the father's house and of the the heads of the tribes of those houses. They assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by their fathers' houses. So they introduced themselves by saying, I am so-and-so, and I am of this house through my father and his name. According to the number of their names, 20 years old and upward by the polls. Again, as commanded. And that's key, and it's repeated. As Yahuwah commanded Moshe, so he did. He numbered them in the Bamidbar of Sinai. And the children of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Let me pause there for a second. That paragraph, and the children of Reuben, or sometimes it'll be of the children of Reuben, but that's about the only word that changes as we go through the next 12 sets of these numbers. That and, of course, the numbers themselves. It's going to repeat over and over and over again that this is the children of, in order of this tribe and so forth, by their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, those that were numbered, every male 20 years old and up, and all that were able to go to war. So word for word, that part repeats. We get to Simeon. Okay, well, I didn't give the numbers first. So here's Reuben. Of those that were numbered of them, the head count of Reuben, 46,500. Now, we're going to see here that the numbers are give or take in the vicinity of around 50,000. Some tribes are smaller than that. But essentially, you got 50,000 times 12, roughly about 600,000 men or so, a little over 500,000, able to go to war. When we finish, we'll see that sum. And, of course, that does not count women and children and others that, for whatever reason, wouldn't be able to be counted as able to go to war. So, essentially, the kind of the conventional understanding is, well, given 600,000 men of battle ability, you're probably talking at least two or three times that, maybe more, that were actually out there in the mixed multitude. So generally, I've seen for many years the number of people that are here in the wilderness, Bamidbar, at somewhere between 2 and maybe up to 3 million people. This is a huge crowd. Think about the logistics of moving 2 or 3 million people, providing food and water, Bamidbar, in the middle of the wilderness, out in the desert. No mean feat. And, of course, that's going to be key to the story, too. All right, of Simeon. Of their generations, by their families, their fathers' houses that were numbered according to the number of names, by their polls, every male 20 and up, all able to go to war. Those that were numbered were 59,300. Now, one other thing you'll notice, with one interesting exception, did they round off or did it turn out that there were exactly, an even hundreds or so numbers of folks here? And as you might suspect, there are multiple opinions on that score. I tend to think there was some rounding that was going on here. But again, it's not always clear. Now, the children of Gad, by their generations, families, fathers, houses, number of names, 20 years old and up, able to go to war, those were numbered were 45,600. Of Judah, same thing. It's 314, so that's 74,600. Judah is a significantly larger tribe, almost 50% bigger than the average here. Those that were numbered, again, 74,600. Of Issachar, by their generations, families, fathers, houses, 20 years old and up, able to go to war. Those that were numbered, 54,400. Of Zebulun, from 20 years old and up, those that were numbered, 57,400. Of Joseph. Now, namely, it says, in this case, the children of Ephraim, by their generations. So we're going to split Joseph. Those able to go to war were numbered 40,500. And then how about Manasseh, by their generations and families? Those were 32,200. So if you combine the sons of Joseph, essentially, that's over 72,000 there as well. But they get split into two different counts through Ephraim and Manasseh. Of the children of Benjamin, according to the number of their names, 20 years old and up, able to go to war, we have 35,400. Of Dan, 62,000. So that's 62,700. Of Asher, 41,500. Of Naphtali, those that were numbered, 53,000. 400. Lots of 400s. Isn't that interesting? Don't know what to make of it, but it's always kind of fascinating. I usually emphasize this, and for some reason, well, let's just put it this way. There are whole lots of things that we can deduce, and lots of speculations, a lot of things people look at, right, about with the numbers, graph the numbers, look at the changes. I've always liked looking at the changes, which tribes got bigger and which ones got smaller out in the wilderness, and so forth, and how are they grouped. All of that we're going to see. But I've always had this really almost certain understanding that there is more to these numbers than meets the eye. And probably a whole lot that we still haven't quite yet understood, but one of these days maybe made clear to us. Okay, so then we get to those that were numbered, which Moshe and Aaron numbered all. Oh, did I mention Naphtali? 53,400, yeah. Those that were numbered, which Moshe and Aaron numbered, princes of Israel, 12 men, each one for his father's house. And when they're all put together, the total sum here, the head count, and this number I always think is worth remembering, or at least marking down. I've got it in here. It appears a number of times in Numbers. 603,550. 603,550. Like I said, just over 600,000 men able to go to war. Now, it does point out the Levites, among the tribes of their fathers, were not numbered. Why? Because the Levites aren't going to go to battle. Then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, look, here, the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor shall you take the sum of them among the children of Israel. Later on, we'll see some numbers associated with Levi. But you appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, the Mishkan in this case, out in the wilderness, over all the furniture, all the stuff that belongs to it, and they're the ones that are going to carry it and the furniture, and they shall minister unto it, and they will encamp around about the Mishkan, the tabernacle, in the wilderness. And when the tabernacle sets forward, it's the Levites that will take it down, the Levites that will take it down, and when it's to be pitched, they will set it up. And any common dude, anyone who's not a Levite that draws near, shall be put to death. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man in his own camp, and according to his own standard, by their hosts. Essentially, they're going to be around the tabernacle, and that in turn will be surrounded by the Levites, and then of course all these other camps will be outside that. So you can think of it as, well, either a large circle, and that's probably how it ends up being, because on the edges they combine, I'm sure, given you got multiple millions of folks out there. But on the other hand, also, in the way that you're going to see it drawn most of the time, it looks kind of like a cross or an X formation, and we'll go through that in a minute. Thus, it says, did the children of Israel, according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe, so they did. And I usually emphasize that because the Bible does. He commanded, they did. And that's good. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe and Aaron, and he said the following, the children of Israel shall pitch by their father's houses, every man with his own standard, according to their ensigns. In other words, they'll have essentially a flag or a way of knowing where they're supposed to go. So everybody remember where we parked, right? Is the old joke. We're going to park in this particular formation. A good way off shall they pitch around the tent of meeting. So given that there's a death penalty associated with getting too close to it, now leave a little space there, guys. All right. Now, here we go. Those that pitch on the east side, this is toward the sunrise, shall be they of the standard of the camp of Judah, according to their host. Now, later, of course, we know, and we've already seen it, that through Judah come the line of the kings. Prince of the children of Judah is Nachshon, son of Amminadab, and his host. And then again, it tells us how many of Judah were there, 74,600. Then next to him, again, this is to the east. So Judah is first to the east. Then east of him, we got Issachar. And that's Nathaniel, son of Zuar, 54,400 of them. And then finally, the tribe of Zebulun, represented by Eliav, son of Helon, and there's 50,400 of those. So the numbers are repeated here. Must be important, right? Those that were numbered in the camp of Judah, now, all told, of those three tribes out of the 12, are now 100,406. So 186,400. And when things get ready to leave, head them up, move them out, they will be the first to go. So they will lead the assembly. Now let's move to the south. So we're going from the east, clockwise to the south. On the south is going to be Reuben. According to his host, the head dude of Reuben is Elizur, son of Shedeur. There's 46,500 of them. Next comes Simeon, and the number there, 59,300. And then the tribe of Gad. The prince is Eliasaph, son of Reuel, 46,600. Whoops. And 50. I mentioned this. Didn't emphasize it the first time around. Must have skipped over it by accident. But in any case, here is the singular example of one that is not an even number of hundreds. 46,650. And all that were numbered of the camp of Reuben. Now we get the total there. 151,450. So roughly 150,000 and 150,000. Now that makes sense. So as we go around here, we're going to see that we've got essentially an average of around, give or take, 50,000. But when they are grouped in each of the three spokes, if you will, coming out from the central part at the Mishkan, you got about 150,000 men, along with their wives and children and so forth, and probably animals and everything else in the mix. Now, the tent of meeting, the camp of the Levites, shall set forward in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, they'll set forward every man in his place. And then we turn to the west side of the camp, kind of continuing clockwise here. The standard, the camp of Ephraim with their hosts. Ephraim's prince is Elishama, son of Amihud. There's 40,500 of them. Next, and this makes sense, you got Ephraim, and then Manasseh, 32,200, and then Benjamin. 35,400. So the total camp here is 108,000. So the west side is a little on the light side by comparison. And 100, according to their host. They're the ones that are going to set forth third when they head out. On the north side now, finally, is Dan. According to his host, prince of Dan is Ahiezer, son of Amishaddai. And his host, there are 62,700 of those. Next, we have Asher, 41,500. And then Naphtali, Ahira, son of Enan, is their patriarch, if you will. And his host, 53,400. So, at the time we count up Dan, we've got 157,600. And they bring up the rear by their standards. And once again, it says, they that were numbered of the children of Israel by their fathers' houses, all of them were 603,550. But again, it tells us, Levites were not counted, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. And one more time, thus, the children of Israel did according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe. And not just in terms of the counting here, now it's this is the way they pitched their tents by their standards and how they set forward. So they were an organized camp, and they left in the order they were supposed to. They camped in the order they were supposed to, and they set up where they were supposed to. Now, these are the generations of Aaron and Moshe in the day Yahuwah spoke with Moshe in Mount Sinai. First, we're going to get the names of the sons of Aaron. Nadab, his firstborn, and Abihu. We know those names. Yeah, we'll come back to that. And then Eleazar and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, princes that were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And then it tells us, yep, remember, Nadab and Abihu died before Yahuwah when they offered strange fire there, Bamidbar, in the wilderness of Sinai, and they didn't have any children. So Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the presence of Aaron, their father. So that's the end of the line of Nadab and Abihu. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe, and he says, bring the tribe of Levi near. And you know, as I say that, I'm thinking, interesting. We'll sometime over the next few days, maybe even coming up on Shavuot or getting ready for Shavuot, I'll mention a little bit about the law of the leveret, the law of the leveret law. If Nadab and Abihu died without leaving an heir, right, and brethren dwell together. But I don't remember anything in Scripture on this particular score. We see other examples. Interesting. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe, and here's what he said. Bring the tribe of Levi near, set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. They'll keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation, kol edat, before the tent of meeting, and do the service of the tabernacle. And here we're going to get some understanding of what that amounts to. They'll keep the furniture, and they'll keep charge of the children of Israel and do what it is that they're charged with doing concerning the Mishkan. You shall give the Levites unto Aaron and his sons. They are wholly given unto him from the children of Israel. Now, it turns out they are mine. They're the replacements for the firstborn. We're going to see that as well. But they basically report through the high priest. They're Aaron's in terms of his responsibility and his charge. And you shall appoint Aaron and his sons that they may keep the Kohanim, the priesthood, and the common man, again, that draws nigh is to be put to death. Yehovah then spoke to Moshe, and he said, look, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of the firstborn, instead of those that open the womb among the children of Israel. And the Levites shall be mine. Now all the firstborn, he says, are mine. On the day I smote all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, I hallowed to me, I separated all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine they are, mine they shall be, ani Yehovah. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe there in that Bamidbar, and he continued and said, number, count, again, lift up the head by their fathers' houses, by their families, every male. Now, this time the numbers are going to change in terms of when we're going to count them. These are not men that are going to go to war. Now we're going to count men that are a month old and upward that you number. So, Moshe numbered them as he was commanded. So here we go. Here are the sons of Levi by their names. Levi, remember, had some sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Now we're going to, so those essentially are the generations of Levi, and those guys that we're talking about are essentially Moshe and Aaron's father and uncles. Now here are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei, sons of Kohath by their families, Amram, Itzar, Hebron, and Utziel. The sons of Merari, by their families, Mali and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites, according to their fathers' houses. Now, Gershon was of the family of the Libnites, his and the family of the Shemites. These are the families of the Gershonites, those that were numbered among them, all the males. Now, this time we're going to get a repetition, too, but it's from a month old and up. Those that were numbered, 7,500. The families of the Gershonites were to pitch from the tabernacle westward. Now remember, this is basically inside the larger circle that are surrounded in turn by the other 12 tribes. Prince of the father's house of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, son of Lael. And the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tent of the meeting, in other words, what's their job? The tent? They get to do the covering and the screen for the door of the tent of meeting, all the hangings of the court, the screens for the door, and the cords. Anything that pertains to any of that stuff, they're going to deal with and carry. Kohath was the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Itzarites, and the family of the Hebronites. So we're basically naming the sons of Kohath. And the family of the Uzielites, these are the families of Kohath. According to all the number of the males, from a month old and upward, now we got 8,600. They are keepers of the charge of the sanctuary. And they pitch on the south side of the Mishkan to the south. Princes of their father's house of the family of the Kohathites was Elizaphan, son of Uziel. Now their charge, if you think about it, we're seeing probably among the carriers here, this is the top dog in the family. They are in charge of the ark and the table and the candlestick, the altars, the vessels, things with which all the priests minister and everything that has to do with them. Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, prince of the princes of the Levites, has oversight of them that keep charge of the sanctuary. So the sub-commander under Aaron, the high priest, is Eleazar, and he deals directly with those that carry all the important stuff. Now on to Merari, and the two sons of Merari, Mali and Mushi. These are the families. Now those that were numbered there, according to the number of the males, were 6,200. And the prince of their father's house of Merari is Zuriel, son of Abihail. And they pitch on the north side of the Mishkan. And their charge are the boards of the tabernacle and the bars and the pillars and the sockets. So some heavy stuff that they get to carry. and all the instruments thereof, everything that pertains to those, the pillars of the court round, their sockets, pins, and cords. And those that were to pitch before the tabernacle on the east side, kind of the pole position, if you will, before the tent of meeting, were, of course, Moshe and Aaron and his sons, keeping charge of the sanctuary, even charge for the children of Israel. Any common man, this is the third time we're told this, that drew near was to be put to death. And then, all that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moshe and Aaron numbered at the command of Yahuwah, again, by their families, males, a month old and upward, total 22,000. Nice, easy to remember, round number. 22,000 Levites. Now, Yahuwah then says to Moshe, let's do this. Let's number all of the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take numbers of their names. So now it's a slightly different number. Now we're going to get some younger births that were born in there as well. But now we're going to number all of the firstborn of Israel, month old and up. Take charge. Take the numbers. Take the names. You shall take the Levites for me. So what he's going to do is to say, look, the Levites are mine. The Levites are in place of. The Hebrew word there is interesting. It's tachat, in place of or instead of the firstborn among the children of Israel. And all the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the children of Israel. So he's literally going to say, okay, normally, right, I would have the firstborn. That is my due. But the Levites are going to be tachat, in place of those. So let's do the count. Let's see what we got. Got 22,000 Levites. So Moshe numbered, as Yahuwah commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel. And now, got a different number. All the firstborn males, according to the number of names, month old and upward, all that were numbered, 22,273. Now we're counting, looks like, down to the individual. So 22,273. Well, that's pretty close. We got 22,000 Levites and 22,000 plus Delta. The difference here is 273. 273 more firstborn males than we do Levites. So, in place of, take chach, the Levites, instead of the firstborn, and the cattle, instead of their cattle. All of this shall be mine. Now, we have a difference here, right? The 273 difference. As for the redemption of that 213 among the firstborn of the children of Israel, they are over and above the number of Levites. So if you're replacing the number of firstborn males with the Levites, we're a bit short. We come up 273 short. So we need some redemption money. You take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary, and it tells us again, shekel is 20 gerahs, as if we knew exactly what a shekel weighed or a gerah, except for, well, there's a 20-to-1 ratio there. Give that money that remains over unto Aaron and his sons. So Aaron and his sons, see, they came up a bit short. They didn't get quite as many firstborn for Yahuwah as they should have, so they get some money at 5 shekels apiece in lieu of, as a redemption fund instead. So they took that money. And the firstborn of the children of Israel, they took, and we got 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. So Moshe gave this redemption money unto Aaron and his sons, according to the word of Yahuwah, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Now, I want to throw out one other thing, just because I always think this is interesting. The numbers here are, well, you might, after a while, almost kind of glosses over, right? Got all these numbers. But we just talked about how there's 603,000 males of fighting age and 22,000 firstborn, 22,273 firstborn. If you do a quick bit of division on that numbers and say, how many males do we have and how many firstborns of the house do we have? And the answer comes out, whoa, wait a minute. That's... let me see. I don't have it written down here, but 603,000 roughly divide by, oops, 273 is 22. or give or take. 22 more, and that's males only. So for every firstborn male, there's about 22 other males, right? Anybody catching some kind of a disconnect here? Whenever you see that kind of a disconnect, you always say, well, what's really going on? The obvious answer is, by the way, we're not counting females, but they ought to be about a 50-50 ratio. But we still got 20 males to one among the firstborns for each one of these houses of the various men. And as the story goes, well, obviously what was going on here is that these guys got lots of wives, because it's kind of tough for the average family with one wife to produce 22 children per. That's a one busy woman. So odds are that however many they got, it's probably several. And that's one of the things that are right here in the numbers. But again, the modern church just doesn't like to talk about elements of Scripture that are uncomfortable, since they've changed, added to, and subtracted from so much along the way. Continuing, it says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, their families. Now, this time we're talking 30 years old and upward, up to 50. Those that do the work of the tent of meeting. This is the sons of Kohath service in the tent of meeting. When the camp sets out, so basically, now we're going to count guys that are basically pretty stout, between 30 to 50. So men in their prime, basically. They're going to do the heavy lifting here of the most holy things. When the camp sets out, Aaron goes in, along with his sons. Now, this is interesting, and I think one of the things we're going to see here is kind of a setup for some of the unrest that comes later. Because we got these stout young guys that are going to be doing the heavy lifting of the most set-apart things, but what is it saying here? Aaron goes in with his sons. They take down the veil and the screen. They cover the Ark of Testimony with it. They put on the covering sealskin, spread it with a cloth of blue, set the staves, the table of showbread. They put a cloth of blue over that, and the dishes and the pans and the bowls and the jars and all the things that go doing pouring, and the bread remains on it, and they spread upon all of those a cloth of scarlet, and they cover with a seal skin, and they set the staves on that. Then they take a cloth of blue, and they cover the menorah, and its light, and its lamps, its tongs, snuff dishes, all the vessels, things that they use to minister, and they put all of those things under a cover of seal skin and put it upon a bar. The golden altar, too. They spread it with a cloth of blue first, then cover it with a covering of sealskin, set the staves. They take all the vessels of the ministry, and they put those under a cloth of blue, cover it with sealskin, put them on a bar. They take the ashes from the altar, spread a purple cloth even over those, put all those things that are associated with that, fire pans, flesh hooks, shovels, and so forth, on a covering of sealskin, set the staves there. When Aaron and his sons are done with all that, everything that the guys that are going to be doing the heavy lifting here might want to look at, they're probably curious, they get it all covered up. After that, when the camp is set forward, after that, it says, then, I guess and only then, do the sons of Kohath come in to carry them. But they shall not touch the holy things, lest they die. So this is kind of interesting, and it's also, again, at least it seems to me, it doesn't actually say this, although in so many words, I guess you get the implications. When we come to the unrest that follows a few chapters down the line, these guys are getting to carry all of this stuff, but they don't get to see it. And Aaron and his sons are the ones that see it and cover it up. And they're not even allowed to touch it directly. They do have to carry it. These are the burdens, it says, of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meeting. Now, the charge of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, is the oil for the light and the sweet incense and the meal offering, the anointing oil. He has charge of all of that stuff for the Mishkan, anything that pertains to that or the sanctuary or the furniture thereof. Then Aaron and Moshe are told by Yahuwah the following. Do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do to them that they might live and not die. When they approach the most set apart Kadosh things, Aaron and his sons go in, and every one appoints his service and his burden. But they shall not go in to see the set apart things as they're being covered, lest they die. And at that point is where the Torah portion actually ends for this week. So, again, kind of fascinating. You've got these 30 to 50-year-old guys that are being appointed among those of the other Levites outside of the line of Aaron and his sons with one of the most important jobs of all. They're going to carry the most set-apart things. And yet, not only are they not allowed to touch them, they're not even allowed to see them. So it does seem like, well, and we're going to see it, that might be the cause of some consternation, I guess, to put it mildly.